kwakuwamkwamnyako nauvuku na undukufu hata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you for tuning into this special New Year's broadcast of Radio Harambe. I am Dave McBride, coming from the Radio Harambe studios, and joining me, no folks, not from around the world, but here in the Radio Harambe studios, it's Safari Mike. Mike, what brings you here today?
Jambo, Dave. I've never been in Radio Harambe studios before.
Well, this is Radio Harambe studios part two. We've had three. This is part three.
Yeah.
We've had three of them, so... Yeah, so what we're going to do, we figured for the final broadcast of the year, I can't believe another year of this show is over, we're going to do a review, and this is what we did last year too, we're going to do a review of the previous year at the Animal Kingdom, and then in our next show, we're actually going to do our wish list for what we would like to see in the next year at the Animal Kingdom. In case you hear any kind of growling or... barking or any kind of weird noises you may not be able to hear, that's because also joining us in the Radio Harambe studios are my three dogs, and they are all, well, two of the three are obsessed with Safari Mike.
He's a good boy.
So so thus it begins. So let's begin in January. All right, the first thing we want to talk about in January is Avatar. There are two kind of major things that happened in Avatar. The first was the famous event with the blue shovels. We've all remember that. For those of you who don't remember it, you can seriously look it up. There were some hilarious photographs of Joe Rohde was there, Jim Landau, the dogs are going at it already, Tom Staggs was there, and they were doing, they had big blue shovels, they were doing a groundbreaking and all that kind of stuff. And also in the month of January, you had probably what I would call the most impassioned endorsement yet by Joe Rohde of the Avatar project. There was a video of him. Mike, you thought it was at a cast member. Was it a cast member?
It was definitely a cast member event. It was in the Finding Nemo studios.
Right.
Theaters.
That's exactly what it was. And he gave a big sort of endorsement of how it fits in and how it's going to, how it kind of, what word he uses, sort of blends with the theme of the Animal Kingdom and all that kind of stuff. And
he's trying to sell it.
He was trying to sell it, but he did a really good job at it.
He's good at salesman.
He is a good salesman. And I would say that was the moment that really kind of turned me. I was always an apologist for Avatar, and you, the critic, as everybody who listens to the show probably knows. But that was the first time I felt like maybe I was going to be vindicated here.
Yeah, we got a long way to go before that happens. Long way to go.
That was the first kind of big moment. The other thing that happened during January, Mike, was the Dinoland dance party began.
Yes.
And I don't know why I thought that was supposedly or announced as temporary, but was it or no?
I don't even know if it was ever even announced, really.
Oh, that's true. You could be right about that.
But, once Camp Mini Mickey went down, which, kind of goes hand in hand with Pandora breaking ground, was
right.
the closure of Camp Mini Mickey.
And that all happened right at the first of the year there, closure of Camp Mini Mickey.
Right. So what they did was they sort of distributed some of the characters all about. Blue and Louie went to somewhere in Anandapur.
Oh, that's right. They did
Chip and Dale moved out to Rafiki's Planet Watch. And then they brought this dance party in to sort of help, especially initially, of course, as many of you probably remember, the first few months of the year, there was no Festival of the Lion King. Not that this was any sort of replacement for Festival of the Lion King, but it was at least another kind of thing to do. But it has lasted. It's still going strong even today. And the best thing about the Dinoland Dance Party to me is the unique characters. I mean, other than that, it's just a dance party. I mean, whatever, there's a dime dozen. But you might see Br'er Rabbit, you might see Br'er Bear, you might see some of the characters from It's Tough to Be a Bug, or A Bug's Life, excuse me, and things like that. So, you know, at least it's got that going for it.
It's one of those things, and there have been a few, and probably will be a few more over the years, between now and when all of this construction is done, because that really is, I mean, when we get to the end, the theme of the year really is construction at Disney's Animal Kingdom. 2014 is going to be the year of the construction wall. It's one of those things, and there's going to be others, that really, I think, was placed there with the idea of needing it when rides start to go down and when areas start to go down. And there's probably going to be a lot more of these as time goes. The other thing was, this was the first time, January was actually, and I didn't want to put too many rumors into the stories because, you know, I kind of waited until they became true.
Right.
But this is interesting because of the timing, the current event, sort of, which is that this is the first time that you started talking about Starbucks coming to Creature Comforts.
Sure. And, you know, we all knew for a while now that each of the four parks, Disney told you that each of the four parks was getting a Starbucks. At the beginning of this year, we knew the Magic Kingdom and we knew the Epcot one. Now we know, or at least as of 5 or 6 months ago, we knew the Hollywood Studios one. And the rumor was Creature Comforts was going to be the Animal Kingdom one. Right. And as we move on, I don't know if you want to touch on this now, but it's apparently true.
Yeah, right. But still not confirmed.
Correct.
Right?
Disney hasn't said diddly.
Yeah, which is another theme of 2014.
Oh, all over the place.
So that does it for January. January is usually kind of a slow month for news anyway. Certainly not the slowest. But you tend to get a lot of sort of that hangover from the holiday season that they're probably going through now. Speaking of which, did you hear that they extended the park hours a couple of days this week? They kept the Animal Kingdom open last minute, an extra 2 hours or something like that.
Last night of New Year's Eve, Disney's Animal Kingdom was open until 10 p.m. And I was looking at some of the you know, the wait times. And at like 6 o'clock at night, while Epcot, you know, you were sitting in 190-minute waits.
I saw a few of those, too.
Track.
Oh, my God.
The worst one at Animal Kingdom was 45 minutes for Everest, which is not bad at all.
Right.
Obviously, people were not going to go to the Animal Kingdom because that was the one park that was not open until midnight. You couldn't bring in the new year at the Animal Kingdom.
Right.
It was closing at 10.
Right.
All the other parks stayed open past, I think Magic Kingdom was 2 a.m. Studios was 2 a.m.
It's crazy.
So, but because of that, I mean, if a good night for you was riding some rides at the Animal Kingdom and then going to watch Dick Clark's, you know, what's
right.
Ryan Seacrest now?
Right.
That Animal Kingdom was the place to be.
The thing that comes to mind is, and I don't know why I'm mentioning this now because it's nothing to do with January or last year, but if you're down there with small kids who you know aren't going to stay up until 12,
right,
and you're there in this busy time, I mean, that's the time to go. I mean, the other places are going to be jammed, and this place is not going to be. It's going to be almost a normal day.
It wasn't that bad at all.
Yeah.
It really wasn't that bad at all. Especially, and it's open late at night, and we always talk about how great it is at night and all that kind of stuff. So,
all right, so we move into February.
Can I ask you a quick question about January?
Yeah.
Did the Dawa Bar reopen in January, or was that the end of December, the 2013? I couldn't remember.
The Dawa Bar opened in the end of December.
Oh, all right.
That was last year.
Damn.
In February, we had but the reason why you think it was January is because that's when we had the first set of pictures.
Okay.
Came in January. Right. The first ones that I had that were given to me.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we moved to February. And I had in February, and I had a little confusion about this. I know there was a Komodo dragon that had arrived at the Animal Kingdom to replace the one who had died, and that one had been there forever.
Forever.
But I'm not sure when that Komodo dragon ended up on stage the first time, but apparently he was in the Animal Kingdom at the beginning of February.
Right, that was the one from Miami?
I think so, yeah. And was there more than one?
Yeah, there is now.
Okay, so that's why I'm thinking there was two. All right, but so the first one,
there'd probably only be one on stage at any given time, but Animal Kingdom owns, or has in their possession, a couple of them.
So the first one that was the first change in the Komodo dragon was there. Also, this is something else that I've never experienced. The debut of Russell's Barkalator happened in February. Now, did you get a chance to see Russell's
buckle? I've seen it. I didn't really use it.
It's sort of like a thing for the queue, right? It was just a little...
Yeah, it's just a thing for the Russell and Doug queue where you can talk into it and it barks back at you. Bark into it and it'll say words back. It's supposed to be a translator like, you know, the dogs in the movie Up where... We should get some of these for the dogs we have walking around this studio.
Well, I know exactly what they're saying.
They could chime in.
I know exactly what they're saying. But that's made its debut, and that was, it's a minor thing, but
It's cute. I mean, the line for Russell and Doug never gets too bad, and I think it's a great meet and greet if you're into meet and greets. But that's like a little fun interactive thing that they throw in there.
It's funny because they literally had a queue for this thing. There was nothing for the queue. There was no entertainment. It was just a line out in the open pretty much, so or no overhang.
Yeah,
so they wheeled this this thing into the queue to give you something to do. It makes me think there must be so many other queues we can wheel goofy little stuff into. Yeah,
well, they don't even use it that often. I mean, it's not always being used.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, I mean, if there's only two or three people online, they're not going to open it up.
Yeah.
I mean, on busy days, it'll be there.
And finally, for me at least, I don't know if you have any others in February, but this was... A big month for me because something I had been hoping for a long time finally came to reality, and that is the Wasalu CD, the Buridika Band CD, a.k.a. Wasalu. They have two different names, Buridika at the Park, so we'll call them that. The Buridika Band CD debuted at the on the market, and I believe it's for sale at Mombasa Marketplace. But for those of you who don't know... If you see a CD that says Wasalu, that's the Buridika Band.
Right.
You may not know that.
Right. I mean, Wasalu, I guess, is their what?
That's their actual name. Because they were a band beforehand. They were contracted to come in. And so then they changed the name.
So they were a band before they started playing Animal Kingdom. Yep. It wasn't one of these situations where they just hired a few people to join.
No, and you can actually go on iTunes and find a CD of theirs that's ages old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's been around for a long, long time. So we move on to March.
Is it Irish music?
Yeah. What? It's random. So we move on to March. March was a kind of a dead month. There wasn't...
It's quiet.
It was very quiet.
Apparently, we were the only ones that made any news.
Yeah, let's leave that. So, in March, it was the beginning of the Harambe market rumor. This was the first time that, again, I don't like to talk about rumors, but I'm only saying it because I'm always fascinated by the time frames of these things. Because Mike has had this rumor out in March.
Right.
We had concept art... a matter of, you know, in the fall.
November sometime,
right? In November, yep.
Maybe October.
Yep, we had concept art. But yet we still don't have, not only do we not have a Harambe market yet, we don't even have an official announcement from them
yet. No, Disney's still playing, don't look behind the curtain.
Just a leaked concept art.
Yeah, there's nothing going on there. Yeah.
I never understand how the concept art gets out without a...
Somebody had to give it. It was to WW Magic, I think?
Somebody like that, yeah. That's all over the place now.
Yeah, but I think they're the ones that have it.
And then they just put it up for all to see. So April, we're moving through this year fast. It's going to be a fast podcast. In April, the Sunrise Safari opened to all DVC members. And this may not be a big story for everybody, but it was for us. Because literally within hours of this announcement coming, my phone rang. It was Mike somewhere in who knows where, telling me we're booking the Sunrise Safari for a trip we were going down in August.
Yeah.
And we did it. And that was a big change. And surprised to say that we're going to have some more news on that later.
Which we heard by the time we've got to Sunrise Safari, we knew that was happening. But up until that point, it was only concierge level guests at the Animal Kingdom Lodge who could do it. I don't know if it was a question of they just weren't filling it up enough or whatnot, but they opened it up to all DVC members. Or maybe it was a last gasp for the Sunrise Safari. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they did open it up, and then strangely enough, a few months later, pulled the rug out from
Yeah, because it does seem weird to do that. I mean, I don't know what their capacity was, but there were a lot of people on it when we were on it.
Yeah, it ran 2 days a week. There must have been about 50 people there.
At least two busloads full.
Right. Right. I'm trying to think about how many. It's like basically, they basically used the safari trucks from, you know, the regular safari trucks that you go and see Kilimanjaro safaris. And they had two of them.
But also the buses to take you from Jumbo over to to board the safari trucks was two full. Well, I mean, people weren't standing, but the seats were all full in the in the regular transportation buses.
Right.
But we're going to go into Sunrise Safari more later. But that was when open to all DVC members. Also, a little animal news. There was apparently a new baby wallaby in Discovery Island that came in April. And this was one of the great regrets for the last trip in August because I didn't get a chance to see it.
No,
I tried to. I tried. I like staked out there for a little while.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. There was like a good half hour, 40-minute period where I just stood there waiting to see something. Yeah. Because the CM was telling me, yeah, they're out. You just...
That wallaby's not the easiest to find.
And it's got a lot of places to hide in the back there and stuff.
There is, yeah. There is a lot of places to hide. That's true. It's in that, for those people who don't know, it's when you walk...
Oh, you will go right past. Most people
If you go into the oasis, you can go either right or left. It doesn't matter which way. But there's a sort of path that cuts across between the two main, you know, the right and left path heading in. And there's a couple of exhibits in there, including some parrots, or some macaws, I should say, as well as the wallaby exhibit.
And if you don't make that right and turn into there, you'll never know. You'll never know it's there. Also, here's another thing I didn't see when we were there. Professor Woodson from the Dino Institute.
Well, there's a reason you didn't
see
him.
And his pet velociraptor named V.
He was in and out of there faster than Bamboo.
What happened to this thing? It was there for 2 days.
It was about a week, maybe.
And that's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, they tested it out and tested poorly, and off it goes. I mean, it was, I would say, unanimously bashed.
It was pretty silly looking.
On social media.
It was pretty silly.
It was awful. It was awful.
Well, if we're going to call Bamboo awful, this was marginally better.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess. The real problem I had with it was a guy in a sort of this puppet type kind of suit.
Yeah, I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah, it was weird. But, I mean, the idea behind Dinoland is that, or the idea behind it was this professor from the Dino Institute brought a dinosaur back and they're walking around the park. It didn't look anything like a dinosaur.
No, it looked like a guy with a thing on his head.
Right. I mean, if it was some sort of stage production where it was like a dinosaur kind of stage show or some sort. Maybe, because, you know, it's kind of esoteric in its look. I mean, that's fine. But this was just pitiful.
Did you have any other in April that you remember?
April? No. We're good with April.
In May. We moved to May. The big one.
Two big ones, I think.
I think both
are pretty big.
Well, the first one was the parade, right?
That's the biggie.
Yeah. The Jam and Jungle Parade. Closed at the very end of the month, May 31st.
Correct.
And with no replacement, no nothing. We just have a...
Right.
No more parade.
There's no more parade, correct.
And I'm happy I got a chance to really... I'm not a parade guy. I've said this a million times before. I don't go to see parades. I certainly don't make a point of it. But the last time I was there before it closed, which was only a few months beforehand, I made a point to go and get a good spot and sit and watch the Jam and Jungle Parade. And I liked it. Mm-hmm. I do. It was a good parade. What was the second one that you had as a big story in
Dole Whips.
I did too. I just didn't know if you... That's another rumor of yours.
Yeah, I was told about a week before it happened that Dole Whips were coming to Tamu Tamu, so I put it out there. And I'm pretty sure we were the first.
Oh, I didn't see anybody else doing it, yeah.
But, you know.
And are they still there?
Yeah.
Same location, right?
Yep, same location, still at Tamu Tamu. I suspect they're going to move over to the new market, but we could talk about that later. But yes, they're still there.
You're always talking about this moving around. We're always hearing that the Dole Whips may move around. Do they call them Dole Whips?
No.
They call them something else, right?
Yeah,
what do they call them?
Pineapple soft served?
Yeah.
Whatever.
But it's Dole?
I think so. I mean, I think that's the same thing.
I didn't have it when I was there.
I didn't have it either.
All right. So we move on to June, which is a big month.
Yeah, there's a lot here.
A lot in June. The biggest one of all being... the new section of Harambe and opening along with the Festival of the Lion King Theater.
This could, I think, very well might be the biggest story for the Animal Kingdom of the year.
Oh, absolutely. No two ways about it. I mean, it was beautifully done. The theater is fantastic. I think all of us kind of hope they may have tweaked the show a little bit and just added something new. But the intimacy in the theater is great. The sound in it is earth-shattering. I mean, it's just gorgeous. And the surroundings of the theater, the area that they – it was seamless. I mean, they did such a good job with it. It really gives you hope for this market that we're going to have one amazing area called Africa in that.
Yeah, I suspect – I mean, there's no reason to believe that it won't be as good, the Harambe market. But, yeah, the area for Festival of the Lion King is about as good as it gets. They, I mean, they hit a home run on it. You're right that the show didn't really change much. Some of the there's better lighting.
Better lighting.
The seats are the same.
Yeah, but it's smaller, it seems to me.
I'm not sure if that's really true.
It looked that way.
It may. Yeah. I think it's the same capacity. The floats they tweaked a little bit. I know there's like a water feature with the elephants now. There's
right. Yep.
But I mean this just some minor stuff that they tweaked. The show is exactly the same. But it was always been my favorite, so why?
And the sound is just terrific. My favorite part of the area, the new Harambe area, is, for those of you who don't know, when you, how do I explain this? When you go through Africa and you're passing the theater, you keep heading straight. There's a big building in front of you with the theater on your right, and that's actually a bathroom. But if you go around the right of that bathroom, that is going to be a pathway that's eventually going to lead you to Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
And all along the side of the building, as you enter this pathway, that if you look to your left, you'll see all these cool little signs that say things that act as though you're leaving. You have to check your passports, mm-hmm. make sure your passports are in order, and then on the other side it says stuff like, welcome to the port of Harambe, you know, paperwork, present your ID, and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. Really neat kind of touches there, because you are certainly crossing over into some place that is not Africa when you leave leave that area.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever seen an overhead view of it, there's a bit of a walk to get to Avatar. So it's.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, it's not like it's going to be right there. You're going to be walking down a path. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll add anything to it. There'll probably be a kiosk here and a ice cream cart there, but there is a. It's not right there. You do have to walk.
It is a walk.
In fact, you're walking over. I'm sorry, Dave. You're walking over where the parade used to enter in.
Right.
To the park, so in theory, the reason part, or at least one of the reasons they closed the Jam and Jungle Parade in May was, you're going to be able to walk over where they used to bring in the parade.
Right. This is going to be a neat little area. I mean, I you're right. It is going to be a walk. It's certainly not going to be an Epcot length walk, but it is going to be a walk for sure. So that was, and also kind of. Piggybacking on this new Harambe thing, we also had the Harambe Nights.
Yes.
That began in June, which we can only assume we can consider a very successful, however short-lived, hard ticket event that was centered around the anniversary of the 20th anniversary, of the Lion mm-hmm. King. And it was like a Lion King sort of review, right?
I mean, right. Yeah, it was a Lion King. They had an orchestra. They had a live celebrity narrator. And I use the term celebrity, air quotes.
Loosely.
It was not, Neil Patrick Harris.
No.
It was relatively obscure African-American actors. And
most of them, you had to tell me who they were because I didn't know who they were.
Most of them I had to look up. but, I knew a few of them. But it was very, very well received. I didn't see a bad word written about it.
No, me neither.
They all sold out. It was only Saturday nights in, I guess, June until early August.
Yeah.
Like mid-June to early August.
Maybe eight of them or eight,
yeah,
or, nine
like eight
of them,
or nine
yeah.
of them. But each and every one of them sold out and sold out pretty quickly.
And they were expensive. I mean, it wasn't a cheap thing. It was a sellout of $100+ hard ticket event.
True, but you got a show that you can't get anywhere else.
That's true.
You got basically all-you-can-eat appetizers, then all-you-can-eat food, like dinner, plus all-you-can-drink alcohol
right.
afterwards.
Right.
Plus numerous characters and, Barutica played it, at night and stuff. So it was I think for what you were paying. You know, when you're paying $60 for a dessert party, Illuminations dessert party,
right,
where you could see Illuminations, you could stand right next to these people and just not have
and
a
get the same view.
Tiramisu.
Right.
And, you know, have the same price.
Get the same view.
Or $60 less, I should say. This, I think, was, and I think that's probably part of the reason why it was so well received and sold out all the time, is it was pretty decent value for the 100 plus bucks.
It was really well received. I didn't hear anybody say anything bad about it.
Nothing bad at all.
I mean, people struggled to say even criticisms like, oh, maybe this dish wasn't as good as we thought, or maybe, but everybody loved all of that. I mean, it was really well received. The only thing that I criticized about it was that I can't, the show itself, which is the only part we got to see, right? Because we didn't, you saw a video of the party and the other stuff happening, but you didn't really get to see it. The show, I thought, was good, but not a home run.
Yeah, right. But it was, I mean, it was different.
You know what I mean? It was different, and it was cool. I just, I thought there was a lot of potential there that maybe they just didn't.
I wonder if they're going to do it again. I mean,
they have to.
I would think so.
They have to. Is Jungle Book coming in for an anniversary soon?
I don't know.
Change it up and do that?
Well, it seems that they don't really necessarily just have to, just because it was the anniversary. There's no reason why they can't
bring it back.
Do
no.
it again, yeah.
No. So, that what I get. The Harambe's okay. So, I want to talk again about Avatar, because we had a couple of big announcements. Well, I wouldn't say big, but a couple of pieces of information.
They were interesting.
Yeah, interesting. And they all centered around James Cameron in an interview he did.
He was probably drunk at the time.
The first thing is he used a phrase, Pandora, the land of Avatar, for the first time.
Stupid name, but okay.
It is a stupid name, and I think that we all kind of agreed that he probably made that up in the interview.
I don't know. Like I said, he might have been drunk at the time. I'm not sure.
It didn't sound, because it doesn't sound like anything. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like, is that, I mean, really? Pandora, the land of Avatar?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean,
and isn't that a double entendre? I mean,
yeah, but they're probably going to call it Pandora. The question is, the thing where it does make some sort of sense is if you call it Pandora, the land of Avatar, people who are not that familiar enough with the movie to know what Pandora is, we'll say, all right, that's where the Avatar crap is.
Right.
If you just call it Avatar Land, then, I mean, you know, you have to almost have the word Avatar in the title, because contrary to what some people believe, not many people are going to know what Pandora is. Well, people will know, but...
No, I agree 100%.
Like,
I mean,
our father, for example, probably has no idea what the word Pandora means.
Sure.
But he knows what Avatar is, kind of.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah. No, I think, and I think it makes sense. It has to have, you're right, it does have to have Avatar in the name. It's just, I hope it comes up with something a little bit better than the land of Avatar. That's a little dull. The other thing that Cameron talked about, which was another one of these things that kind of got a lot of people excited, was that the he hints to what can only be sort of phrased as huge advancements in the audio animatronic technology for these characters, these big blue guys, the Na'vi. They're going to be apparently, you know, state of the art and another kind of step forward for and what I mean by that is there's been a lot of generations of these kind of characters over the years, starting from the very first ones, which you see back in, you know, the Lincoln and, you know, and even before that, even small movement animals and stuff on the Jungle Cruise and things like that. They take steps over the years to get a little bit better, a little bit more motion, a little bit more points of motion. And apparently the size and the movability of these things are going to be state of the art. I don't know if they're going to be as impressive as the Yeti was.
I was just going to say, you know? The last state-of-the-art thing was the Yeti, and that broke in how quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, how long before these Na'vi are, you know, they're flashing blue lights on them?
We can only hope.
Na'vi.
We can only hope that they've learned their lesson from the Yeti these things, you know?
You would think it would be easier to fix. Yeah, they would. Hopefully.
So does this excite you?
The Disco Na'vi?
Yeah, the Disco Na'vi.
I mean, they got to be in the boat ride, which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, if you understand, if you following along, you know that there's going to be a Soarin' type ride.
Right.
Which I assume would be screen-based like Soarin'.
Right.
There's not going to be audio animatronics in that. So I can only assume that it's on the boat ride.
Yeah.
which I like. I'm much more interested in the boat ride than the Soarin' thing, to be honest. Although we learned some stuff later on about things about the Soarin' attraction that might be interesting, but I'm fascinated with the boat ride.
You mentioned also in there, we mentioned the Yeti. There's also a story from June, for those of us nostalgics of the Animal Kingdom, that the famous Expedition Everest bird, which I thought was an owl, and I was wrong, returned after years of...
How would you think it's an owl? It was an eagle.
Because it had been so long since I'd seen it. I forgot. It's not a bald eagle. It's like a
golden eagle.
It's like a bird of prey of some kind. It's like a hawk.
Not really. I'm not sure if it's species specific. Really?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think there's actually a species really that they're trying to.
But it's definitely not an owl.
No, it's not. Nor is it a pigeon. But yeah, whatever. I mean, it's the bird on a stick.
Yeah. But it came back.
So did some of the other things around Everest. Where they kind of refurb, like the steam effect on the trains that come back.
That seems to come and go.
Yeah, and some of the other things, I don't remember what month this was, and I apologize for not finding it, but I know Dinosaur, they brought back some of the better sound effects and some of those, and they had the strobe lights as you're going in and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they switched up the effects there. Mm. I probably should have looked up when that was, but it was just here sometime. So there was a couple of spots where they spruced up the effects.
Also in June, we had the debut of the Grevy zebra.
Very nice.
In Pangani. Mm-hmm. And the Sumatran tiger, I don't think had debuted yet, but had arrived.
Okay.
I think it may have been a little bit longer before it came out. It may not have actually hit the stage until July.
Maybe. I mean, it was definitely out when we were there in August.
Yes. But they came in, and those were both... great additions because they're gorgeous animals and they're very endangered, both of them, which is,
The good thing about the best thing about the Sumatran tiger is, we've talked about this in the show in the past, that the tigers that they had and still have, even as of now, were just Asian tigers where old females were not breeding. They're bringing in a male Sumatran tiger. He may even be there now. I'm not sure, but I know they're trying to work that. So, hopefully... maybe in 2015 we'll be talking about
baby tigers
at a year in review show.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to take a trip down there if that happens because I need pictures of that. Also, great addition debuted in June to the Animal Kingdom. This is one of my favorite things that came in, the Winged Encounters. Unbelievably cool, subtle little thing. You walk right past. And not know it's there, although I don't know how you wouldn't notice the screaming macaws overhead throughout the entire park. It is really impressive for a little tiny show. You would never expect what you get. You see, when I saw these things, right? Like when I first heard of this, the idea of like a SeaWorld show kind of popped into my head of having a little like a small version of Flights of Wonder kind of. That was what I thought. I had no idea these birds would be flying in from all over the place, you know, and just circling the park, it seems like, making a ruckus as they're coming in. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, for those who haven't seen it yet, the show itself is sort of right by Flame Tree Barbecue. And that's where they all land. But even you could be just meandering around the park. I think one time we were sort of crossing the bridge over from Asia into Discovery Island. And all of a sudden you hear these birds squawking and you see this flock of macaws fly over you. It is very cool. And it transports you, I think. It makes you feel like you're in a different type of place.
Yeah. Definitely, I loved it, and the CMs, the cast members there, are all really terrific. Stick around, talk to them; they'll tell you all about it. It's now on the Times guide, which it wasn't for a long time there, and now I think it is. It's really worth seeing, and a really, really cool addition. And if you happen to be walking around the park, and the first time I got there, I'd completely forgotten about it. We got in, and I went right to Maharaja Jungle Trek because I was doing just the early morning photo stuff. And it was actually extra magic hours, and I had done the Kilimanjaro Safari first and was going over towards Asia, and I'm in the Maharaja Jungle Trek, and I'm taking pictures of the tiger, the Sumatran tiger, and then all of a sudden you hear this these birds. I'm like, what is that? The woman said, winged encounters. I said, oh, right. I forgot all about that. So you really do hear them from everywhere.
I like it. I like it. It also brings sort of attention to the plight of macaws, which is, you know, an important conservation story. You know, macaws are bad off. So, you know, it combines a lot of things that I like.
And something that went extinct in June, the tip board. In front of, we no longer have a tip board.
Did anybody ever actually use the tip board?
Oh, come on, they're great.
I guess when you first walk in,
you walk in, you get a look, you plan out your afternoon. It's not, it's limited use. It's one of those things where you only use it if you're going in like after lunch, your second park of the day.
But who doesn't have a smartphone anymore?
Well, that's now I understand your issue, but the tip board was fun.
Oh, sure. 8 years ago, you use a tip board. 3 years ago, you use a tip board, but nobody really uses it anymore.
I miss it. It's not going away from the other places, is it?
I would hope so. Someday. Doesn't make any real sense anywhere.
Do you have any other June stories?
No.
You got them all?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, July.
We're halfway home.
Yeah, July was slow in news for me.
Yeah, there wasn't really much there.
The only thing that I really kind of talked about was that July was the month where Discovery Island really turned into one giant construction wall, where there was just walls everywhere. I mean, all the way up to the stores, in front of the stores, everything seemed like you got into the clearing to see the Tree of Life for the first time, and right in front of you was nothing but walls. And I guess now we've moved them back a little bit, but I called July the month of the construction wall.
I'm not sure. September might be worse.
Might be.
Because when they did the Rivers of Light thing, there's walls everywhere now. Yeah.
These were probably the most intrusive construction walls I'd ever seen.
They throw you off. In the front by the Tree of Life, they discombobulate you. You don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I'm so used to the way the park was.
Yeah,
that you know the wall sticking out almost all the way to where there's a fork in the path. It was very discombobulating at some points. I lost track of where I was specifically in Discovery Island, which is unusual for me.
And turned it into one what felt like a hallway.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
Yeah, it's very right on top of you. Yeah. At some parts.
Really, really strange. First time I'd ever seen that. What did you have anything else in July?
No, July was
July quiet. Was dead. Okay, so we move into August.
August there was more.
August, there's more, including my favorite one of August, which was the babies on the Pangani Forest Trail, including a baby meerkat, which I was not expecting when I came down.
There was two, wasn't there?
Yeah. Popped up. I got some great pictures of the meerkat. You can go to our blog and click the photo safari and probably find one of those. And the baby gorilla, the first baby gorilla, which was a real showstopper. A lot of people were going out of their way to see the baby gorilla. And Mike can talk more about this, but the species survival for those gorillas is an important, you know, this is a great success for the handlers of the animal kingdom, especially when you consider in a couple of months, I'm going to talk about another one.
Right. Yeah. The gorillas are part of the SSP plan, which, you know, we've talked about it a few times, but that's sort of a concentrated effort from all the zoos in North America. They sort of make it one big gorilla population, and they'll, you know, trade animals back and forth.
Right.
We've seen the okapis from the animal kingdom go to Denver, I think, at one point.
And, yep, just recently.
Yeah, and, you know, we just talked about how Komodo dragons are coming here, and Sumatran tigers are going to the animal kingdom.
You were telling me about a set of gibbons that are in this zoo in New Jersey a couple years ago.
White-cheeked gibbons they're in the Turtleback Zoo. It's an important aspect. It really sort of helps drive up attendance, really, in many ways. Baby gorillas are up there in terms of popularity.
Yeah, photographability for sure.
Baby tigers would be right in that same wheelhouse in terms of popularity. Yeah.
The other animal story from August was is something that, again, we have not gotten to see this yet, but it was announced, not by Disney, mind you, that a group of hyenas, we don't know how many, I think three hyenas are coming to the animal kingdom.
They're there now.
They're there now, but still not on stage. From
what, I have seen pictures of them getting examined at Rafiki's at the vet.
Oh, okay.
I have seen that.
Great. Just to kind of back up on it a little bit, but there was a article about a colony of hyenas in California at, I think, Cal Berkeley. That colony had been there for 20 years. They had run out of funding and were looking for places to sort of place some of these hyenas in small groupings so that they can sort of stay together. They were completely bred in captivity, these hyenas. They were the only sort of captive colony, I think, in the world. That group, when they closed it, announced that they'd be coming, or some of them would be coming, to the animal kingdom. Right. Disney still, like I said, Disney still hasn't said anything about it.
Which is their want to do. Yeah.
So that was the other one. Another thing that happened in August was what we discussed before. The Sunrise Safari was announced to be ending
right
at the end of the year.
And then we did it in August.
We did it in August. And we heard actually before, I think they made it official, that it was ending. Or did we know?
We knew it was ending by the time we got there.
We did?
Okay. Yeah, we did.
So we discussed it with them, and I believe what they told us was that it was a victim of corporate size.
Yeah.
Confusion.
Right. And the impression I got from the staff members who were running it, and for those who don't know, it's essentially an Animal Kingdom Lodge event. It's run by the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's manned by the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and the two guides are keepers from the Animal Kingdom Lodge,
right?
Not from the Animal Kingdom Park. And they take you to the Animal Kingdom Park and give you a tour through Kilimanjaro Safaris before the thing opens. And I guess the coordination between the two different staffs was not ideal. I know when we went on it, they had not. The lions weren't out yet. Definitely the cheetahs were not out yet. Well, there was a couple of things that were not out.
Weren't they telling us about a storm the night before, too?
There was a storm. Correct. But I had asked them, is that typical? And they said, it's really sort of a crapshoot. We never know what they're going to have out for us.
Because they don't
really care.
It.
Yeah, they don't care. The staff at the Animal Kingdom gets nothing from this sort of tour, other than the adjective of having to get there earlier and getting those animals out an hour or two earlier than they ordinarily would have to. So I think that was part of the problem.
And apparently pixie dust didn't work to solve this issue.
The breakfast was quite good, though.
Oh, it was great.
It was a great event.
It really was. It stinks that it's not. I mean, because if it was going to remain open, if it really was going to remain open
again
for years, I totally would go again. I'd go every time I stayed there because it was a really nice event. And I would like to go again and hopefully get a chance to see some of those species you were talking about that weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you stop and you get a chance to really get a look and get some great photographs.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what I love to do.
We stopped and watched the sable antelope for a while. And they give
you
a nice talk about about the animals.
And the attics, too, where you were. Oh, right. It was great. The only other thing I have in August is a website thing, another plug for JomboEveryone.com, which is we began a new article, a series of articles, which is still going on, called Aruna's Real Africa, where our friend Aruna Moen, who you will hear on this show in the coming weeks.
Is that true?
Yes, we're going to be interviewing Aruna soon. She is giving us dispatches from South Africa. And she is somebody who has a lot of experience in, she's volunteered for a bunch of different kind of animal conservation things. You're going to learn all about that as the time comes. She likes to spend her free time traipsing through the national parks and photograph wildlife. And she's got a great eye for pictures, too. She's taken some amazing shots. There's some hyena pictures she took that are just fantastic.
And she's on Twitter now, too.
Yeah, she is. Yep.
So whenever she's on Safari,
She was like me. She's reluctant into Twitter.
Yeah, not me.
She wasn't happy about it. Do you have anything else in August?
No, not August. I have a few things in September.
Yeah, I only have two in September.
I have a couple.
September, I have the second gorilla baby was born.
Right, and we got word of that before we announced it on our blog before Disney announced it on theirs.
Yeah, we got wind of that when we were there, right. I think, right?
No, it was after
right
we
after?
Were there. It was right after we were there. Yeah. Yeah.
Disney announced it officially on their parks blog.
About 4 or 5 days after we did.
Yeah, yep. Which sometimes I think
But that was out. But that's because it was out and people
you can't help it.
We know who, will work there,
yeah.
said, I don't know why Disney's not announcing this, but there's another baby and the girl out there. I don't know what's going on.
So somebody finally got around to it on the park flock.
I guess they had to wait till Wednesday.
But, yeah, because it's Wildlife Wednesday.
Right, Wildlife Wednesdays.
You can't post anything about Animal Kingdom if it's not Wednesday.
So,
ridiculous. You can poke Frozen three times a day, but you can't post Animal Kingdom unless it's Wednesday.
So, yeah, so that was that was odd.
If the baby's name was, I just forgot the name of the thing.
What thing? The baby?
If the baby's name was the snowman in Frozen.
Oh, Olaf?
Oh, it would have been immediate. Okay. They named it Olaf right away. And would add a little Olaf t-shirt on him if they could get there. I'm going to go off the rails here before we move into the rest of September. Did you see the, did you get a chance to go back and look at the Christmas parade?
I watched it when it was on.
Did you? Yeah, but you didn't get a chance to really absorb it.
No.
I taped it and watched it.
We taped it. I didn't bother watching it.
It was the silliest thing and there's been times where it's been bad, and believe it or not, the things that were bad for me in the past, which is usually the way, the kind of campy way it's broadcast and the goofiness with the, you know, Kelly Ripa was sometimes unwatchable on it, and mm-hmm. other people that were on there, they improved that. The hosts and stuff this year were better. However,
ugh.
What was missing?
Tebow was the one of the hosts.
Well, yeah, but he was not on very often.
I miss Doogie Howser. He was a better host. He was a better host. But yeah. Go ahead.
The thing that was missing from the parade broadcast was the parade.
Yeah, there was no parade.
There was no parade.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So you weren't watching a Christmas parade. You were watching an ad for Frozen.
Right.
Or,
which I don't understand why they need to advertise Frozen.
I have no idea. I've famously never seen Frozen. I get in a lot of trouble for that. But
you do get in a lot of
trouble. I do,
well,
but
one bad review anyway.
I've never seen it, but can you tell me, is there any relation between Frozen and Christmas?
No.
So
only,
Frozen's
only
not
that
a Christmas
it's cold
movie.
And there's ice and snow and stuff, but yeah, no.
So they could just as easily have made this the Jungle Book Christmas special or the Cinderella Christmas special. They just chose Frozen this year because why? They're trying to pump CDs or DVDs?
Hugely popular.
They've had a lot of hugely popular show movies over the years, and they've always broadcast
not recently.
This parade.
I mean, Frozen's the most recent one. Frozen's the most. I'm not going to defend Frozen, but
no, I'm not asking you. What I'm saying is, I genuinely don't know, other than the fact that it's cold in Norway.
There's nothing Christmassy about the movie.
Okay,
other than it's cold in Norway, yeah. It's ice, snow.
Because they used to do a lot of, like, the people who came on and sang were singing Christmas songs.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right.
You'd get, like, big stars, like Mariah Carey, singing Christmas songs.
Right.
Here, you were getting people coming in and singing these songs from the movie.
Yeah, it was stupid.
So it didn't make any sense why we were doing this for Christmas.
That was the worst Christmas parade I've ever seen them put on.
Yeah.
It was easily the worst one I've ever seen them put on. It
because,
was terrible.
Because there was no parade. I want to see
no
the parade.
There was no parade. There was no Christmas to it. It was just stupid. It was just...
Not much about the park.
No.
You used to get like a walk through the park sometimes, and like even Imagineering things, stuff mm-hmm. about what we're working on. None of that. It was just somebody in Aulani, which singing songs from a movie that takes place in Norway.
Oh,
in Christmas.
Yeah, there was a few Christmas songs. There was Gavin DeGraw.
Yeah, some did. Yeah, there were a couple.
One or two yep. Christmas. He didn't
and
sing
Train,
a Frozen song.
Train sang a Christmas song.
Right.
There were Christmas songs. Trisha Yearwood may have sung one too, but I didn't know the point of the Frozen songs. Anyway. The next
it
thing,
was terrible, though. And I disagree with you about the hosts. I thought they were awful.
Oh, see, I
they
thought they
zero
were...
zero personality, I thought.
Well...
I like a little personality. Like I said...
I thought the former host suffered from an excess of personality.
What, Doogie?
No. Kelly Ripa.
Oh, no. I mean I thought Neil Patrick Harris was just fine.
I can't remember the other guy's name who... I think he's married to Mariah Carey, who was always
on
in Disneyland. He thought he was the funniest
Nick
thing.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, I mean, just dreadful.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
They were dreadful. Anyway.
Bring back Doogie Howser. Go ahead.
The next story in September that I have was what Mike was mentioned. You mentioned before, which was construction beginning on the Rivers of Light seating areas.
Oh, yes. And this really intrudes on the on the park.
The only good thing we could say is there may be the nicest set of... construction walls.
They're very
different
ever put up. Anyway. They're,
they're
not
cool.
Just green. They have all sorts of photos from afar and
Tibetan saying proverbs and things like that.
Yeah. But it is very intrusive. I mean, you know, obviously at the end we suspect it'll be a much better park, or at least and have a great nighttime show. But for the moment, there's a lot of walls.
Yeah. So there, and that's up all throughout that Asia and the back end of Dinoland. And do you have anything else in September besides that?
I actually had two things. Go ahead. I'm not sure if you, these are kind of minor.
No, I like minor.
And this one is the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, that counts.
Victoria Falls began their tapas menu.
See, I saw that. And
they
I,
put five or six things uh-huh. that you can, it's a different kind of menu from, you know, either Jiko or Boma. They have their own unique menu, much like Territory Lounge, which has a great menu. But there's like five or six small plates that you can get at Victoria Falls, which is, I think, a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet. But I'll try it one of these days. But I do like the idea.
Disney anyway. Has to realize that tapas needs to be more than five or six plates, though.
Well,
they just don't have
it. It's okay in a lounge where it is, but it's not supposed to be a tapas place. There's here's five or six appetizers you
small
can get
things,
to get with your drink.
And they're good.
Right.
There's neat stuff on there.
Right. Yeah, and they're unique and different.
Yeah.
And same thing with Territory Lounge. There's a couple things on there. There's like a beer fondue, which is really good, and a couple other things. No, it's when they open up a tapas restaurant and they only have five or six things. That's a different set of problems.
And they're each $20.
That's different. The other thing I had for September was the Dawa Bar started doing the Bloody Marys first thing in the morning.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm very, very fond of.
Civilized society coming to...
Actually, you know what? I take that back. That was probably in August. Because I had one. It was in August.
Oh, yeah.
It was the end of August.
Couldn't have been September. It had to be the end of August. So we can move on to October then.
We can.
The Tough to Be a Bug reopening. And also the Tree of Life sort of was refurbed all at the same time.
Right,
as
and a
well.
Lot of the nets came down.
A lot there. Yeah, there was nets up. The movie was closed. We're starting now to get some of these walls away or moved back or starting to shed them a little bit piece by piece. The Tree of, like I said, you get a much better view of the Tree of Life now, and the Tough to Be a Bug reopened. And if I remember correctly, it was one of these refurbs that lasted a little bit longer than we originally thought. I think it was only supposed to be a few weeks and then ended up kind of extending, right?
Yep, a little bit, yeah.
So, and still, and another, yet still, no major change.
No, and I suspect that maybe much of the refurb was in actuality the tree itself and the paths, because you do have to actually walk underneath the tree
to get
in and out of the Tough to Be a Bug. And if they're going to refurb those branches and reinforce them, et cetera, you probably couldn't have people walking in and out of the theater at that time.
The idea of painting it is such a monumental task. It's hard to even believe.
Right, I'm sure the show itself didn't change much at all.
No. Also, kind of in the same area, the new Cotton Top Tamarin exhibit on Discovery Island opened, and we had the debut of a new male tamarin who came in. Again, this is important because that moved back some of those walls, and we got to see this new exhibit that was just opened and nice. Well done.
Very well done. And they moved the tamarins from the sort of the center of the park.
Yeah, right in the middle it was.
Right in the middle. Those are now gone. Well, they just moved over to this new exhibit. And the other thing about this exhibit is it's sort of right at the beginning of the trail that sort of leads up to the tree. And you can see the kangaroos and all that kind of stuff. Right across from Creature Comforts or Creature Comforts, I guess. It's right across from that. Or Pete Safari, maybe.
Well, that's the same.
Whatever
general area,
but it sort of better defines that path, and makes people realize that there actually might be things to see up there. So let's go down that path. Because before,
you didn't even know.
Although for us, it's great because nobody even knows it was there, and you're essentially by yourselves. This will create more of a traffic flow to see some of the other stuff there.
I love going down those paths.
Yeah, it's great.
If you go all the way down one of them, you get to the Galapagos tortoise, which is one of my favorite.
That's the one in the all the way in the back, right before you hit the Africa sign. You make a right.
There's a couple of macaws there too.
Sometimes,
but yeah,
and
I
there's
think
also
military macaws.
The crested porcupines about there too.
Yep, but the Galapagos tortoise, if he's up and moving, that's an impressive animal.
Saddlebill storks are back there too.
Yeah, yes, they are. Yeah,
and you can keep down that particular path. You can walk all the way. You go past there's like a sort of a almost like a waterfall that comes off the tree that you can see from the back side. You go right past that and you can walk all the way to the other side and come out by near the Asia Bridge by It's Tough to Be a Bug's exit.
Yeah, but there's not much between the tree and the But once you get past the tree, there's nothing. I don't think there's anything.
There's
else.
No other animals there. Right. It's just a path just walk. That yeah. gives you all the way to the. It's tough to be a bug exit.
Now, also in October, I had was we began the closing of sections mm-hmm. again. The walls going up right. in Pangani for a refurb, and they just recently reopened.
Correct.
Which we'll get to that
right before the Christmas smear.
And that was another one that we thought was going to be short term and ended up being months.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Up a long time. Do you have anything else for October?
Nope.
So on to November we go. Getting towards recent history and towards the end, the old wildlife tracking center
mm-hmm.
at Rafiki's Planet Watch reopened as the Science Center.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see much change, though, right?
Not much change, no. But I guess it's just sort of, it wasn't really a wildlife tracking center.
No.
They didn't do any tracking there.
No.
They did more science. Well, in fact, there's probably more science that goes on at Rafiki's Planet Watch than all of Future World nowadays.
Absolutely, there's more science.
Except maybe the land pavilion, but that's...
No, that's not science. That's agriculture. That's farming.
Agricultural science.
They're not doing any science there anymore.
They're doing dragon fruit research. They've been doing it for years.
Same dragon fruit, I think, has been hanging there. I'm not convinced those aren't fake dragon fruits.
I don't know, but they've been doing research for years. They must know every little detail.
Everything. They can grow it on the moon if they wanted to.
But anyway.
The reason why it was a tracking center is because they had like a fake paw on the glass, and right? And it said, this is a bear paw or something like that.
I remember
really all it was.
And I could be wrong about this, but I thought back in the old days when the park first opened, they at least had thoughts of being able to talk to signed wildlife biologists in the field.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they ever actually did it, but that was one of the ideas that they were going to
do. Like via...
Right, satellite.
Satellite hook, right. Like Skype or something like
right,
that?
Right, oh, right, right.
Wow. Which they didn't have back then.
So, I don't think it ever came to fruition, no. But I believe that was one of the ideas early on. And I guess in that essence, you're sort of... out in the field. They're trying to get the vibe that you're out in the field, kind of, and that never really panned out. But
do they still have the cameras where you can look behind at the barns?
I don't know if they still do that or not, to be honest. I haven't looked for those.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
But I don't know if they still do.
All right. The big one in November was the release of the Harambe Market concept art.
Yeah, when we gloated for a while.
Yeah.
Well, at least I did.
Well, you did. I had nothing to gloat about. I'm just the man who presses publish on the blog site, Mike. I have nothing to gloat about.
But yes, this is when we got the concept art.
So we went from our rumor breaking
in March
mm-hmm. to concept art being unofficially released through some sort of leak in November.
Mm-hmm.
And from all... in November and in parts of December, too, we started to get a lot... We got the overhead shot... we got some pictures mm-hmm. of people getting up. You know, we're really seeing things being built now, so we're seeing serious progress. From what we can tell now, we're only a couple months away from opening.
I would think.
It looks like it's going to be... I think it's going to be open for spring break. Probably going to be open in late March.
It could be. That definitely could be.
Yeah, certainly before the summer. Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still nothing from them.
Nope, not a word. As far as they're concerned, there is nothing going on there. Even though you could see buildings coming out from behind the walls, you could see the buildings now.
Plain as day. You could see the water tower, too.
Right. Oh, yeah, you could see it all.
And if you take the train back to Rafiki's Planet Watch, you can practically see everything.
Right, see it all. But according to them, it's not...
There's nothing there.
It's so weird. I mean, Disney, I don't understand it. We are 6 to 7 months away from Disneyland's 60th anniversary.
Right.
They are clearly building Harambe Market in Animal Kingdom.
Right.
They have closed numerous attractions at Hollywood Studios. Yet they won't tell you anything. In the old days, Michael Eisner would like come out and he'd have like a field day with this kind of stuff.
Totally.
Hey, guys, you're going to be... This is fantastic.
Totally.
Here comes Star Wars Land and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to... Whatever it is.
Right.
60th anniversary. And to generate excitement, but they won't do it. And for some reason, with... Seven Dwarves Mine Train, they did the exact opposite of what they're doing here.
And it looks like that's what's happened with Avatar, too.
Right. Every minute detail, when they screwed in a couple of screws, they had a Parks Bog post to show you what was going on.
When they picked the color swatches for the...
You could ride through it. You did an animated tour of the ride-through of the attraction before it ever opened.
Yep.
And
nothing here.
But this they won't tell you. And when they built Bay Lake Tower, the thing was like 12 stories up in the air, and They told you, we're not. I mean, there was maybe a reason for that because they had to sell out the other DVC, but they wouldn't tell. But the Polynesian, they told you from before it ever closed, we are building. It's weird. They don't take like the right middle ground. They either give you way too much information to like kill the excitement of it,
or nothing,
or they won't tell you anything,
or they pretend it's not there.
It is weird.
Or they pretend it's not there. They don't. They have to learn the middle ground here, and to announce a few things,
especially
to generate some excitement.
Especially, I can't understand. I mean, I understand the Harambe market's going to be a little. It's not a big deal. It's not the greatest.
No, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
So publish.
But people are still excited about it. I mean, people would still be. Hey, that's cool. That's a neat thing to talk about.
Absolutely.
And especially the other thing that comes that puzzles you is especially when it's so plain sight. Easily there to see. I mean, I understand wanting to hide it until it starts to go up because you want to be able to make changes and little tweaks here and there. But it's going up now. There ain't much change you're going to do now. It's concrete in the ground. You know,
what are they going to change?
Nothing.
The menu? I mean, nobody cares about that.
And they don't even have to announce that. They just have to announce what the general
idea is.
Change
the name. It's not a Hyperion Wharf situation.
No.
Where they announced that.
Well, that could be why.
And then that died on the vine before they ever even like broke ground on anything.
That might be the reason why they're doing it.
Maybe. Maybe that fiasco was a. But even when they gave you information about, what was it, New Fantasyland?
Yeah.
When they first announced it, it generated excitement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they changed it. Nobody cared. Nobody cared that they took away the Tinkerbell area and the meet and greet. You know, the original plan had different meet and greet things with Cinderella and Aurora and all that kind of stuff. They took all that away and replaced it with the mine train. People like that. I mean, it was a better, it was an improvement as far as many people were concerned. So, I don't know.
And when you have so many construction walls up in the park, it seems like it would be nice to be able to say as a cast member, well, here's a few of the things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is why they're all here, instead of pretending that they're there for no reason. I mean, Rivers of Light is officially out there, so everybody knows that's coming, and a few other things. But this is a weird one, not too good. Do you have anything else in November?
No.
So, December, which we just got through, so we'll fire through this quickly. Mm-hmm. Mike talks about the Avatar, the first beam of Avatar went up.
Yeah, and they showed that as like Seven Dwarves Mine Train all over again.
3 years or something after announcement, we get our first beam in the ground.
It's a nice beam.
But the cool thing about Avatar for November, for December, and you guys can go back a couple of episodes and hear this, was the Bob Iger interview where he talked about... gave specifics about the e-ticket, which we mentioned a bit before, the Soarin ride with a banshee that's going to be feel like it's breathing under you, and you're going to, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, that was the first sort of specific, real cool detail about it.
Right.
And said sort of casually in the course of this other, you know, course of a million things he talked about in this interview. Certainly wasn't about just Avatar.
Right.
They had a lot to say.
He did have a lot to
say. But nothing about Harambe Market.
Nothing about Harambe Market. Well, I mean, I wouldn't expect. Harambe Market, as you said before, Dave, is not an e-ticket.
Right.
He at this thing, was talking only about
big stuff.
Avatar and Star Wars.
Star Wars, right.
Stuff
he's hitched his wagon to, let's be honest.
Right. I don't know why, but at least with Avatar. But anyway, so that was. And again, it was kind of off the cuff. It was kind of this. I don't know how planned out it was. I guess I'm sure he went in there with the agenda to sort of leak some stuff.
I would imagine so.
He tried.
That's why he probably called the interview. I mean, that's but they do that on purpose,
right? Yeah, and sort of gave you like a reason why Star Wars is maybe taking a little bit longer than you would have liked, and all this kind of stuff, and try to create a little bit of buzz about. And I think that's what's going to happen with Avatar. We're going to get the little pieces here and there, and you'll get Bark's blog posts up the yin yang. As we get closer and closer,
and they're gonna, and I think that that makes sense because they're gonna have to with that because of the negativity surrounding it from the Disney fan community. I mean, they're gonna have to do what they can to try to really put on a marketing push here.
I mean,
they're gonna have to go full out on the marketing push here.
Sure, because Avatar is you know, you can look at it one of two ways. Avatar has a strike against it.
Sure,
from the Disney community,
definitely.
People are going in with preconceived notion that, hey, this is not Disney.
Right.
Which never really made much sense to me.
Makes no sense to me.
Because Star Wars was in the park for about, 20 years, and it was not owned by Disney?
Right.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well,
most of the Hollywood studios. But having said that, I think the biggest problem with Avatar is my opinion that it doesn't really fit the theme.
I, But also, you've said many times you don't like the film.
Right, I'm not a big fan.
Which is the difference between, at least to me, between Star Wars and Avatar.
Sure, Star Wars is much, much better film.
Much and much more universally loved.
Oh, much, much.
Even though Avatar was the biggest grossing film of all time.
Is it?
Or something.
Is it
whatever.
One or two? Is it what, Titanic it, one or is that one?
It's
I don't even
right in there. Yeah, I think it beat Titanic. I could be wrong. It doesn't matter. As you've said many times, it was that because of a gimmick a lot of people went to go see it, but not necessarily people who went to go see it three or four times like you did with Star Wars. I mean, you kept going back.
Right. Everybody who saw Avatar had to see it because they had to see it in IMAX.
In the theater.
In 3D. Yep. And the price of those tickets are much higher than...
Right. Twice the price law.
Right, and then going to see somewhere else. So that's and it was the first movie that, I'll give it credit, it was the first movie to really take advantage of that.
Right.
That kind of, and then, of course, movie theaters overkilled and everything was IMAX 3D, and then soon, now nobody cares anymore.
Right.
But it was, it captured that, and it does a good job. It's a beautiful film.
It is.
It's very pretty.
He does, and that's Cameron. Cameron does shoot nice looking films often.
He can't write for nothing.
Nothing at all.
But his film is
nothing at all. I mean, I'm going to offend half the audience I know, but the Titanic script was one of the most dreadful scripts I've ever listened to. It's just not good. And Avatar just isn't much better.
No, the characters are not memorable at all.
No.
I can't name any of the characters.
By name, no.
I have no idea who they are. I know the dude from Clash of the Titans was the main character. Sigourney Weaver was in it.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver was in it. But do you know her name in the movie?
Oh, no.
No, see?
No. I mean, there's no Han Solo. There's no C-3PO R2-D2 characters.
Right.
There's nobody that you're going to remember and, really, love.
Which gives them carte blanche to do whatever they want. They don't have to shoehorn these characters into...
Right.
Into a story.
They're just going to make a pretty land.
We're just going to make a pretty place.
Let's hope so. I mean, I hope it's pretty. But the problem is if they don't hit a home run, then there's going to be...
Oh, God.
There's going to be a lot of backlash against it.
Oh.
That's the problem that they have, is that if they don't hit a home run...
Yeah.
Like anything else, if they would have built the land based on, I don't know, Jungle Book...
It's that movie again.
Whatever.
It's a great example. Yeah.
And it was okay. It was nice.
But not great.
People wouldn't hate it. They'd be like, yeah, it's pretty good land. That's fine. A couple of nice rides. Fine.
Sure.
But if they don't hit a home run, they'd be like, that damn Avatar. I hate it. Blah, 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 blah. You'll see all these blog posts about it and all that kind of stuff. But on the other hand, does Disney care?
They've done that in the past, right? I mean, personally, I've said this before too, I don't believe they hit a home run with New Fantasyland. I thought it was going to be a little bit more integrated, kind of not look so, it looks so separate from the old Fantasyland. I wanted to kind of see an integration, kind of like New Harambe is integrated with the old section of Harambe. I don't think they hit a home run there, but it's not. I don't have a problem with it on spec. I'm not waiting to criticize it. Half of the people involved in this are more than half are just waiting to say something bad about the Avatar.
But again, that's only the fake Disney media. That's only
that's true.
The blog post, and that makes up what, a half of a percent of the people who go into the park.
But a lot of your Twitter feed.
That's fine. But 99% of the people who walk in could care less.
Yeah,
I agree 100%. About what we say in our blog posts or whoever. I'm not gonna.
Sure. So if they do a good ride,
Disney doesn't care.
Yeah. No. I don't. We've talked about it 100 times. They probably don't. But I do think we've said it before. I do think they made a mistake here. I think that they could have done something else and put the same kind of effort and time into something original. I'm not upset with Avatar. I didn't hate the film like Mike did. I think it'll make a good setting for something. I don't think it belongs. All this stuff. We said it 1,000 times. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what it's based on, if they make good rides, good experiences, people are gonna like it.
I don't hate the film. That's overstating it.
Dislike the film.
I don't even think I dislike the film. I think it's just not a very good film. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine, whatever.
Way more money than it needed to make.
Right. I've seen it once. I'm good.
If it wasn't in 3D, I don't know if it would have been.
No, it's Pocahontas.
Yeah. I mean, watch
Pocahontas with amazing effects. That's the movie.
But even watched in, and I don't want to get too much into this, but even watched on your DVD at home, on your Blu-ray at home.
It's not the same.
It's nice, but it's almost animated looking as opposed
very
to
animated.
Yeah, as opposed to sort of like, you know, a real setting. And so yeah. So maybe that says something good about going into it, you know, in a
right.
multi-dimensional type of thing. Also in December, the Isle of Java closed in anticipation of the move to the Flame Tree Barbecue. Is that officially done?
Yeah, it's the new.
It's now the Joffrey's.
New, right, the new coffee stand is open and up for business. In fact, I posted a blog post today. You know, walking around the park with Nick that has pictures
that has it
of
there. Yep.
And, you know, getting coffee. They have an island cappuccino there that I'll have to try. It's a sort of rum drink.
And also, just because I like I say, I always love this stuff, the longest going rumor that we have mm-hmm. is the Starbucks Creature Comforts rumor, which we said hit the presses in January. Only in December did we get a permit filed.
Right.
Still no Starbucks announcement.
Nope.
But a permit filed. And this non-announcement puzzles me more than any because Disney's already announced that each park is going to get a Starbucks.
Right.
So they must have already approved these. Starbucks must know where it's going.
Sure.
So why are we not, if we're closing doors and putting up walls.
It's apparently closing in January.
Why are we not saying that this is going to close in January, folks, so
we can
put up Starbucks?
June, maybe?
Yeah. Are they going to wait till it officially closes? It may be closed by the time this podcast comes out.
It might be. It's supposed to close June 4th, Monday.
But there's no. My point is there's no secret here. Everybody,
no, there's no secret.
So why are we not talking about it?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm also on record of being against the Starbucks thing across the board. I don't like it anywhere. And I certainly don't like it here. I've said that a million times before. But people like it. You would think this. They weren't had any problem announcing the other ones that were coming. So why are we not announcing
they
this?
They didn't announce...
The Epcot one right away?
No, not that. I wasn't thinking of the Epcot. The Hollywood Studios one right away. They closed that store and put up walls first, and then they announced it. They announced it before it opened. I don't even think it's open yet, but the red trolley shop or whatever it's called.
Yep.
So, I don't know. You know, you would think with this Disney Parks blog, you'd think they would need to...
That this would be what they would...
They need something to write about. I mean,
they would
how many
drive
times,
eyeballs to...
How many times can you write about the merchandise that's coming out this week? You know, it's all over the place.
Three posts a day on Frozen, Mike. Three posts
yeah,
a day.
I mean, it's just whatever.
And finally, this is my last story of the year, is the Donald Dinner Safari. The character dinner... Coming to
right. Disney announced this officially
this
starting
is
in March.
Officially announced. Right. Yep. Starting in March, you're going to be able to have a character dinner at the Tusker House.
And
Do
we've been saying
ones?
This was. I have one other one. We've been saying this is coming. This has been coming, and it just obviously makes a lot of logical sense. Once the park is open till 8, 9 o'clock at night all the time for Rivers of Light and all that kind of stuff,
right?
You know they're going to be serving dinner, obviously at the Tusker House. You might as well make it a character meal,
right?
Because that's obviously gives you more money. Now they'll probably jack up the price 10, 15 bucks per person or whatever it is. And you can meet Donald and all that kind of stuff. The other one I had, Dave, was the Sunrise Safari actually physically closed December 28th.
Oh, that's right. Yep, yep.
So that's actually now officially gone.
That was just recently. So that does terrible news. Anyway, so that's it.
So we'll end it on a bad
note. We're
going
to end it on a bad note. But the thing is, the thing is, our next show... is going to be all about our wishes, our positive vibes, what we want to see next year, what we think is going to see next year. You know what else I'm going to do to you? I'm going to go back and listen to ours from last year and
see
how we
did. Is this
what
we're going to do? Three little things, two medium things, and one big thing?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the same thing we did last year.
Okay.
You get to pick three little things you'd like to see put in.
I can't copy them, right?
Can't copy them. I'm gonna go back and listen. I still have my notes of what mine were, but I don't know. Do you keep your notes from show to show?
I don't keep mine.
I'll go back and get them. I'll listen to it and get them for you.
I can probably remember.
You're gonna do three little things. Three things that...
Three little, two medium.
Two medium, one big.
One biggie. Yeah.
And the one biggie, I can't repeat mine. I'm not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it next week.
I don't even remember what my big one was.
You probably couldn't think of mine if you give it a second, right? It's the same one I say every time people talk to me about what would you like to see at the
Adventures Club?
No.
What? Pandas. Yeah. Oh, pandas. God, please. Pandas.
So there's a little preview. So tune in next week.
I could say pandas.
Tune in next week, and you're going to hear the our wish list for next. Are you going to be in studio next time, or are you going to be out on?
I'll be in studio if you want.
Or are you going to be out in the wilds?
I don't know.
The dogs want you in studio.
I'm very tired.
So that's it, guys. Go to JohnBoEveryone.com. You'll find all the stuff that we do, including our store. Just wanted to mention this as well. As we close 2014, in the year 2014, we raised, through purchases of the stuff we sell on the store, almost $400. That we donated to.
Nice.
Yep, that we donated to our conservation partners. And I can't thank everybody enough for the support on that. The support continues. We did a lot of great Not a Half Day Park t-shirt sales during Christmas. I put a bunch of other stuff up there as well, and I can't thank you enough for that. And hopefully next year, fingers crossed, I got a couple of ideas, a couple of projects in the works where we can blow that $400 away, because I think we got some stuff coming that you're going to really enjoy. But until then, for Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. We wish you a wild and adventurous new year. We'll see you next time on Radio Harambe. Kwa harini. Kwa